Let's continue reading verses 25 through 50 of number 16. Now in the second half of the chapter, we have the record of God's judgment against those involved in the rebellion of Korah. Let's read verses 25 through 35. Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins." So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents with their wives, their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, "By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. If these men die naturally, like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord." Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, with their households and all the men of Korah with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Then all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, "Lest the earth swallow us up also." And a fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. Once again, let's consider a few background notes. I'm reading a little prayer that someone gave me a few weeks ago. "Dear Lord, so far today, Lord, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't lost my patience, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot more help. Amen." Well, we laugh because we all can identify with the experience expressed in this prayer, right? In actuality, however, committing these sins is a serious matter, because these sins are surface symptoms of deeper problems. We've seen that behind the surface sin of complaining, there is the deeper sin of discontent. We've seen that behind the surface sin of criticism, there is the deeper sin of jealousy. We've seen that behind the surface sin of compromise, there is the deeper sin of unbelief. And here in Numbers chapter 16, we see that behind the surface sin of contempt, there is the deeper sin of rebellion. Now, we've called these sins of the wilderness, because these sins kept the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness and kept that whole generation from attaining all that God had for them in the promised land. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, these sins of the wilderness on the part of the children of Israel are mentioned, and then we read in verses 11 and 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." 1 Corinthians 10, 11 and 12. So we are exhorted in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 to study the book of Numbers, because the sins of the wilderness are recorded here as a warning for us. And we all need to listen to verse 12. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." You know, just when you think you're a spiritual giant and God's gift to the church, watch out. One of these sins will get you for sure. Take this sin of rebellion, for example. You know, I'm familiar with cases where godly Christian men and women got caught up in a movement to remove and replace God-given leaders. And you know what? Grumbling with contempt toward these leaders was the way it got started. Let's be warned. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." Now, what about doctrinal or teaching points from this second half of Numbers 16? Doctrinal teaching point number one. God removes believers who persist in the sin of rebellion. God removes believers who persist in the sin of rebellion. Verses 31 through 33, once again. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, so that they and all those with them went down alive into the pit or Sheol. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. The pit or Sheol here means the grave. Verse 34, then all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Let me ask you this morning, how fast would you have run away if you were one of the children of Israel at that time? I think we'd move out pretty quickly, right? Seeing the judgment of God right there, the earth opening up. You know, whenever I read this account of Korah's rebellion and the earthquake, I'm reminded of one of our family devotions a number of years ago. When our children were growing up, periodically, each one would take a turn in leading our family devotions. When it was the turn of our son David, he would always build biblical models and tell the story. However, he always picked the stories in the Bible that included some kind of cataclysmic event. The flood, the Egyptian army drowning in the Red Sea, the falling of the walls of Jericho, etc. Well, I will never forget when he did the rebellion of Korah. He built a model earthquake. And when the earth snapped shut, I can still see the wiggling arms and legs of toy people extruding from the crushed earth. It was hard to have family prayer time after that, however. Well, now, on a more serious note, we certainly see our doctrinal point illustrated here in the earthquake and the fire that followed. God removes believers who persist in the sin of rebellion, then and today. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16, we read about a sin leading to death for believers. What is that sin? You know, it could be any sin that a believer sins to the point where God judges with the discipline of death. Listen, it's better to go home to heaven early rather than to live on and do further damage in the home and church. Would you agree? So there is the sin unto death for believers. It's discipline. Rebellion to God's authority structures is such a sin that can lead to death. Watch out for the telltale sign of contempt of God's leaders. God removes believers who persist in the sin of rebellion. Doctrinal point number two. God reminds believers of the consequences of the sin of rebellion. God reminds believers of the consequences of the sin of rebellion. Verses 36 through 40. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, to pick up the censers out of the blaze, for they are holy, and scatter the fire some distance away. The censers of these men who sinned against their own souls, let them be made into hammered plates as a covering for the altar, because they presented them before the Lord. Therefore they are holy, and they shall be a sign to the children of Israel. So Eleazar the priest took the bronze censers, which those who were burned up had presented, and they were hammered out as a covering on the altar, to be a memorial to the children of Israel, that no outsider who is not a descendant of Aaron should come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he might not become like Korah and his companions, just as the Lord had said to him through Moses. Question. Why did the Lord have the bronze metal of the censers, which were wrongly used, now hammered out as a plating for the brazen altar? Answer, so that it would be a constant reminder to the people of the consequences of the sin of rebellion. Every time the people brought sacrifices and looked at that altar, they would be reminded that God must judge the sin of rebellion. In the same way, when we rebel against authority, God will hammer out the consequences in such a way that the Lord's people will be reminded that there are consequences to the sin of rebellion. Many examples could be given here. You don't have to look that far. Consider a Christian family, for example. where the husband has not loved his wife as Christ loved the church, Ephesians chapter 5. Or the wife has not honored her husband as the head of the household. Or the teenagers have not obeyed and honored their parents. Look at the consequences, and I will show you the plating on the altar. The hammered out consequences to remind God's people of the seriousness of rebellion. God reminds believers of the consequences of the sin of rebellion. Practical application from the second half of Numbers 16. Thank the Lord that he stands between the dead and the living. Thank the Lord that he stands between the dead and the living. Verses 41 through 50. On the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." Now it happened when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron that they turned toward the tabernacle of meeting, and suddenly the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell on their faces. So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a censer and put fire in it from the altar, put incense on it, and take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun." Then Aaron took it as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the assembly. And already the plague had begun among the people. So he put in it the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. So the plague was stopped. Now those who died in the plague were 14,700, besides those who died in the Korah incident. So Aaron returned to Moses at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, for the plague had stopped. We read in verse 41 that it was on the very next day after the earthquake that the children of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron and blamed them for the death of the rebels. Can you believe it? What a lesson for us, how soon we forget. God had to judge the people now with a plague, and 14,700 more people died. The good news here is that the plague was stopped. As Aaron the high priest took his censer with incense and fire from the altar and made atonement for the people. Verse 48 says that Aaron stood between the dead and the living. So the plague was stopped. What a wonderful picture of Christ as our high priest. He stands between the dead and the living. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ is not your high priest. In fact, you have no priest to bridge the gap between you and God. You are still dead in your sins, as Ephesians 2, verse 1 says. Now, if you are a believer here this morning, you have been delivered from the dead and are now in the company of the living because of the atoning work of Christ on the cross. And now he ever lives to make intercession for us as our high priest. Hebrews 7, 25. Have you thanked the Lord for that great truth? Thank the Lord that he stands between the dead and the living.